Alaska Public Media's Every Little Bit recognizes people who go above and beyond to strengthen our community in Anchorage and South Central Alaska.
I think if someone wants to start a community event, they should just go for it.
I believe in serving your neighbor, love one another.
There's always something that you can do.
Wherever people meet one another's needs, all of us are enriched by that.
Do you know someone doing good in your community? Nominate them at alaskapublic.org/littlebit.
What is the best path forward for Alaska's economy, public health, and safety, and future energy development? School districts need funds for crumbling infrastructure, and state facilities are also backlogged for maintenance. But where will funds come from to meet these expensive obligations? And is there a path to a sustainable permanent fund dividend that won't run the state's main spending account out of money? The legislature is back in Juneau, and House and Senate leaders are with us to describe the work before them today on Talk of Alaska.
Hi, I'm Avery Elfelt, a reporter with the Alaska Desk. That's a joint reporting effort from Alaska Public Media, KHNS, where I work in Haines, and other public radio stations in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Aleutians. It allows us to connect you with the issues happening in communities all across the state. You can hear our stories during the morning news, on Alaska News Nightly, or online at alaskapublic.org. The Alaska Desk is only possible with the support of grants and listeners like you. Thank you.
Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. From one end of Alaska to the other and everywhere in between, public media works to provide quality programming and statewide news you can count on and news you can trust. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or in the car, we're grateful to be a part of your day. Thank you for tuning in.
Talk one-on-one with experts on mental health, nutrition, pharmacology, surgery, childcare, and much more on Line One, your health connection. Join our hosts as they discuss the health topics that matter to Alaskans with their guests and live callers. Email questions before, during, or after the live broadcast to line1@alaskapublic.org. That's Line One, your health connection, weekly on your local public radio station.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, from Alaska Public Media, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. The legislative session is always a busy time as lawmakers craft bills and work to find consensus on a wide range of needs for Alaskans. And compromise is usually needed to get bills passed. So what are the big priorities for House and Senate majority leaders, and how will minority members work to ensure their priorities are also considered? Our guests today can help clarify the big issues and how they'll work to address them. Senate President Kodiak Republican Gary Stevens and House Speaker Dillingham Independent Bryce Edgman join us from KTOO in Juneau this morning in their respective majority leadership roles. Also on hand for the first half hour of today's program is House Minority Leader Palmer Republican Delina Johnson. After 10:30, Senate Minority Leader Tok Republican Mike Kronk will be on hand and join us. So welcome to our guests this morning, and I want to let other Alaskans know you can also join us. What do you want lawmakers to prioritize in this second session of the 34th legislature? Do you think we need new revenue measures, or do you think more budget cuts should happen? You can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Senator Stevens, I want to start off with you. The governor's fiscal plan includes a number of items for us to discuss. Let's start with the statewide sales tax Governor Dunleavy proposed. He pitched a 4% rate from April through September, 2% for the rest of the year. It's estimated to generate between $735 and $815 million per year. As you know, many municipalities in Alaska already have a local sales tax. What do you think of this proposal?
Well, thanks, Laurie. It's a very important issue. Now, we want to – I appreciate the governor presenting us a plan. There are some problems with it, and we're hearing, of course, a response from our communities, and we know the issues that are being faced. But certainly the sales tax is one that has great concern. I mean, it would be a 2% sales tax year-round. It would raise to 4% when the tourists are here. There are problems, of course, with our communities. So already, my community already has a pretty high sales tax. How do we work into that? Local sales taxes have certain exemptions, you know, like for food and for medicine. This would not allow that. It would be a statewide sales tax that we would be stuck with. So I think there's a lot of concerns about it. You know, it's always a problem we have that we're hearing from folks that first they don't like a sales tax or income tax, but they also like a high dividend. So our problem is trying to balance all these things and coming up with a rational reason to continue. So it's going to raise a lot of concerns. In the end, I don't think that the legislature is going to pass the sales tax issue. It's a high bar and a difficult thing for our constituents to get their heads around as well.
Interesting. Thank you, Senator Stevens, for starting us off there. Speaker Edgemon, your thoughts on a statewide sales tax?
Well, first, I would agree with Senator Stevens that the sales tax measure is not getting warmly received by the legislature. The governor rolled it out about a week ago, the best of my knowledge, he hadn't worked with legislative leadership or any legislators in terms of putting the bill together. We did, however, last week here in Juneau, get a preview of some work that the Institute of Social and Economic Research had done, which was very interesting, very illuminating, that I think led to the governor introducing his fiscal package. The House Finance Committee, day after tomorrow on Thursday, is actually planning to have a hearing on that package. I think primarily the sales tax component, because that's the measure we've, at this early juncture, heard the most about. But House Finance is going to have a hearing in the morning on the governor's bill. I think it's House Bill 227. And then that evening, take public testimony on just sort of the general concepts in the bill. So we're doing that to get a sense of where the public is on these issues and then how that might guide us going into the future.
All right, thanks for that. And Representative Johnson, do House Minority Leaders support this sales tax proposal the governor put forward?
Well, there's many pieces to this, and if you look at the whole fiscal plan, such that it is, I would say that it's incomplete at this point. But one thing the House minority is very, very cohesive on is that no revenue-generating ideas should hurt any working-class Alaskans. And so we do have some concerns that when you're talking about no exemptions, when you're talking about food, I mean, anyone knows, and I'm not someone that necessarily watches everything when I go to the grocery store, but even I go to the store and I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not know that, you know, a jar of pickles was $8 right now. So when you start talking about, and I think if I'm thinking and looking at that, when you're looking at rural areas or anywhere in Alaska, people are looking at the rising costs of just everyday living. So with no exemptions at all and seeing just a tax being added on to those everyday expenses, there's great concern.
All right.
If I could add something to that, please. if you don't mind, that Delana really touched on, and ICERI did it as well when they examined all the options, all the opportunities for us in the fiscal plan, and that is that a sales tax really harms people who are at low income levels, harms them more than it does people at higher income levels, because they are spending more of the money they have on groceries and. So it's interesting to look at it in that way, to realize that the people who are being harmed the most are the people that can least afford it.
And Senator Stevens, staying with you for a moment, during his two terms, the governor has seemed more focused on budget cutting and reducing the size of government services. He said that he would introduce a sales tax in the past, but one never materialized. Were you surprised that Governor Dunleavy brought a tax proposal forward now?
You know, not surprised, but I wish he had done this 7 years ago. I mean, we've been dealing with him, working with him for seventh year and going to the eighth year, and to wait till the 11th hour here to put together this plan is going to be very difficult for us. You know, the legislature works as the legislature should in a fairly slow way. We don't jump to conclusions. We take our time. We make sure that what we do is as correct as possible. So pretty hard for us to deal with all of these issues in the governor's fiscal plan at the last minute.
And if it does pass, the governor wants it to expire in 2034. Does that, Senator, make sense to you, or do you think that it should continue if it gets passed?
Well, I think that's right to have these end dates, and because then when we get to that point, other legislators will look at it and say, should we continue it or not? So, yeah, give us time to see if it's working and either stop it or continue.
I see. So, Speaker, turning to you, do you think the expiration date would be needed to help make it pass, or would it be more prudent to have it come up for consideration to sunset or continue on rather than building it in initially?
Well, I think that's part and parcel of the committee discussion. You know, thinking back to Alaska first had an income tax in 1949, I think it was, that went all the way to 81 or 82 when the oil money started to flow. And the overriding sentiment in the legislature at that time was to do away with income tax. And I can tell you now that that's off the books, to get that back onto the books, if that were ever to be the will of certainly the public and the legislature, in today's era, and you know, social media and the ability for people to comment almost instantaneously on things, you know, to put a 5-year sunset, and I think it's 2027 to 2032, you know, is something that we would take a real close look at. I should also point out that the governor in his proposal is planning to have the corporate income tax go away in 2032, which would be a very interesting component, because that's a real, you know, a contributing factor to the revenue that we get from the, you know, the industry that does business in Alaska and so forth. So all of this as a package takes time. It takes modeling. It takes third-party analysis. But even more than that, and I think my colleagues here today would agree with this, it takes a political imperative. It takes legislators to really roll up their sleeves. The governor putting this out in an election year makes it particularly more difficult. And so, you know, I think the prospects for the governor's plan at this point, we're going to give it its due process. We're going to, you know, hear the measures. But I would say it's far more on the uncertain than the certain side of things.
And Representative Johnson, what do you want to see happen here? Do you think that in order to get a sales tax passed, if members support it, that it would need to have an expiration date, or do you think it would be more prudent to put a review date down?
I don't know if that would be necessary as far as getting the bill passed or not. I'm not sure if that would be the deciding factor, because we haven't really had enough discussion to really know where those points would be that are of dissension would be. But I'm all for a sunset, just in the sense of keeping government on their toes. So we're not just adding money and we just leave it there and it's there forever. So a good review, I think, is a good thing. We also are in a resource state, which we know is a volatile as far as income. And so with the changes that we regularly have, regularly examining our taxes, I think is a good thing.
All right, if you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and today we're talking with majority and minority leaders from the Alaska Legislature. It is the second session of the 34th Legislative Gathering. Majority Leader, Republican Senate President Gary Stevens is on the line. He is from Kodiak. And Majority Leader, House Speaker Bryce Edgman is an independent from Dillingham, also on the line with us. Minority Leader, Republican Representative Delana Johnson is with us. She is from Palmer. You can join us statewide if you'd like to comment on the sales tax and other priorities that the lawmakers are looking at currently. Join us at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. Representative Johnson, we heard Senator Stevens say that he's heard from folks about the potential of a sales tax. What are you hearing from your constituents?
I haven't heard a lot immediately, I mean, just recently on the fiscal plan. I'm not sure that it's really hit the public awareness quite yet, but I certainly had that conversation in the past in various ways. Of course, as in local government, I was mayor, and the city of Palmer has a 3% sales tax. So the sales tax issue and then a state sales tax on top of a local tax has came up, certainly of interest to municipalities. And there is concerns about having all of the tax collected by the state and then returned to the municipalities. There's also the concern that, you know, you're just adding on top of, and how is there really going to be an oversight of how much taxes it is, because we tend to look at it as two separate issues. One's 2%, one's 3%. But if you're talking about a person that's just a buyer, they're going to be talking about 5%. So making sure that there's an awareness of the total amount of sales tax. And I'm, of course, familiar with Palmer, but there's lots of other places that have various variable taxes, and they also have seasonal taxes. So that's why this gets a little more complicated. It's not just a simple 2% and 4%. It's not just seasonal, because, I mean, seasonal can mean different times. So seasonal in a municipality might be a different time frame. So you start getting into, you know, some real differences and some nuances that start making the implementation a little more complicated, in that you need to or will be sorted out a committee. I mean, as this goes along, and if it were to get to the point of being implemented, there would be a lot of things to work on, and we would have a lot of stakeholders, local government, to consult and talk about this with.
All right, thank you for that. Turning to email for a moment here, Karen writes, I came here in 1969. Things were very different, but government got things done and kids were getting a better education. Karen advocates for, number one, cap the dividend at $1,000. She says, as originally intended, I don't know about that language, but she's suggesting a cap at the dividend. Number two, reinstate a school tax. Number three, reinstate income tax, not a sales tax. Number four, reinstate fair oil and gas taxes. And she says, stop giving away our resources. Senator Stevens, turning to you, there is another tax proposal that would raise the minimum production tax on North Slope oil. This would also sunset in 5 years, or if production rose to a certain level, it would end. Do you support this plan in the way it's been proposed?
Well, you know, I do think it's a good idea. And when you look at, again, the speaker mentioned the ICER study, and people should pay attention to that. One of the things the ICER study says is that the easiest tax to collect, the one that has less impact on the working people of Alaska, would be a tax on oil. And we know that we have some areas that we're not receiving much money from some oil development. We know that there are some companies that don't pay income tax at all. And so those are issues we need to look at. So I think that's but just to realize that the impact on people, it's much more stressful on folks to have a sales tax or an income tax, easier to accumulate a little higher tax on the industry.
Speaker, your thoughts on this plan to increase oil taxes?
Well, first I would say that Karen is on point. We do have what's called a structural deficit in Alaska, meaning that we don't have enough money to accommodate all the needs in both the operating and the capital budget, as well as you know, a very important component, particularly in my district, is providing an affordable but sustainable permanent fund dividend. So the need to raise new revenue going forward, I think, is going to be a more present discussion as things continue to get more expensive in Alaska. Everything from personnel-related costs in the agencies to fuel to insurance, all the operating expense components. And we haven't even begun to talk about schools quite yet. So one interesting point about the governor's proposal we haven't touched on yet is that he has put this multifaceted plan in front of the legislature to basically raise revenue, with one measure being to sort of cap the growth of government at 1% a year, which is below inflationary costs. But what he has done is he has linked all of these components together. So you pass one, you've got to pass the rest. And so the oil tax measure Raising the minimum floor from 4% to 6%. I can tell you from experience, having been in the legislature for some time now, is very complicated from a mechanical standpoint of being able to understand its full impacts. And we shouldn't forget that we are as close as we ever have been here in Alaska to a gas line. So if we approach the topic of fiscal stability with a gas line, that is going to be commingled with oil taxes, the tax regime in the oil industry. And so all of this is infinitely complicated and, dare I say, far beyond the reach of a legislature in one session to accomplish.
And Representative Johnson, your thoughts here. Do House Minority Leaders support increased taxes on oil?
So I will say straight off that oil taxes are extremely complex in Alaska. And a lot of things about this fiscal plan, they're very clear and simple solutions. And so this it seems like a small and maybe just an easily analyzed piece to the oil tax, but it's not as easy as it may seem. So it's all there's many pieces all tied into the oil tax structure that we would have to know exactly what the impact would be, whether it's as prices rise and fall. We have some variables in there, so I hesitate to say that we're right on board with this just because I have been through the oil tax sessions, and they don't ever seem to end once they get going. And that's why, even though it seems like one small piece of that, I don't see it as simple as that. So the complexity, I don't think it can be understated how complex it is, and how my uncertainty is. I don't really know exactly what the impact overall on that income would be.
Let's look at a couple of emails here that have come in. Mary writes, what about introducing a non-resident income tax? Lots of money leaves without any contribution to the state. Would something like that be legal to tax non-residents on their income but not state residents?
No, I don't think it would be legal. I mean, if we're going to have a sales tax, for example, it has to be all of us have to pay it. We can't just select people that don't live here. The constitutional issues in the U.S. Constitution can't treat Alaskans, any other Americans, different than you do Alaskans. So, no, I think we're stuck with whatever we choose to do on an income or sales tax, it has to be across the board, everyone affected by it.
Absolutely. Another email from Lou in Nome. Lou writes, in Nome, we had a sales tax that was split to have 3% in the winter, 5% to capture more from tourists and businesses that came up during the warmer months. One of the biggest complaints that finally resulted in the tax going to a single rate all year long was that small businesses, local entrepreneurs, and others didn't have expensive tax programs to go through their books and change the taxes for customers twice a year. And it was not only taking a lot of time, he writes, it also was open to mistakes, which made everything hard to explain to their customers and other things. So Lou writes, this was not considered appropriate nor doable twice a year every year. Something to consider there for if this tax moves forward. Representative Johnson, I wanted to ask you about, Senator Stevens mentioned the ICER study earlier. The Institute for Social and Economic Research studied the tax proposals and found that taxes on oil and corporations would be less harmful for Alaskan jobs. But even if the governor's proposals were adopted, the state would still be drawing down its savings. His office says it would need roughly half the balance of the main rainy day fund this year alone. What do you think is needed to shore up the state's financial standing?
Yeah, thank you for that. I wish I had like a one-sentence easy answer. In fact, I wish I had a one-sentence easy solution that we could just implement and all go home. But as I said in the beginning, this is an incomplete fiscal plan. It does not address, it address some forms of revenue. It doesn't address, but it does not address cutting the budget. Now, I also lived through the years of, the extreme budget cuts, so I wouldn't think that would be something that we would, could even possibly take up in one session. But I think it's very difficult to ask your average hardworking Alaskan to increase their grocery budget, to do the variety of measures, and we as a government don't even take the first steps and do the hard work to eliminate and analyze some of our spending. So there needs to be a spending piece to it, and we are like a middle-class family. We can have most of the things that we need. We are in, but we can't have everything. And so there's a number of things that we need to go back and take another look at. And it's not a one-time thing. You have to do it over and over and over again. You're always addressing spending. You're always addressing revenue. It seems like I think people get tired of it. Why don't you just get it fixed? Well, you never quite fix it. That's why we meet every year and continue to have these discussions, because there's not a one-time fix for it. It's oversight that government needs to do to make sure we keep downward pressure on our budget and maintain as much as possible the services we should provide for Alaskans.
And Laurie, if I could add to that, as the speaker brought up, the condition in that in the governor's fiscal plan, that's really the tough thing for us. Now, I think we can address some of the issues in the governor's plan. We may be able to come up with answers to it, but the condition that really stops many of us is that we put the permanent fund dividend in the Constitution, and his plan is 50% of the proceeds go towards the dividend, which would be around $3,000, and half of it then goes to government services. And how on earth are we going to balance our budget if that were the case? How can we pay for the services that people want, education and police protection and prisons and all of that? So, you know, if that is condition is out there, that is really going to be difficult for us to come to terms with.
And what does the governor say about exactly that? That the math, as you laid it out, Senator Stevens, the math doesn't work here to do a 50-50 split and the state would run out of money soon. In conversations with the governor, what does he say about that concern?
Well, we didn't see that till much later, just a short time ago. So we're trying to get our arms around it, try to understand it. But, you know, that you're right. That $3,000, that's, what, $2 billion out of our budget, which is just going to be extremely difficult for us to accommodate.
Yeah, and I would add that the early analysis that we've done, basically at this point, you know, a week later, back of the envelope, would suggest that the governor's plan in its totality would actually increase our problem. It would not lessen it. And, you know, the whole notion that you can, as the senator was just describing, increase costs while you're, you know, proposing revenue measures that don't make up the difference, I don't think is going to get a lot of traction in the legislature. And it's really interesting because all of this conversation brings us to what ICER was describing a few days ago here in Juneau is, you know, what's...
Hi, I'm Avery Elfelt, a reporter with the Alaska Desk. That's a joint reporting effort from Alaska Public Media, KHNS, where I work in Haines, and other public radio stations in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Aleutians. It allows us to connect you with the issues happening in communities all across the state. You can hear our stories during the morning news on Alaska News Nightly or online at alaskapublic.org. The Alaska Desk is only possible with the support of grants and listeners like you. Thank you.
Called the Alaska Disconnect, because we don't have any broad-based tax measures that when people come into Alaska, if we get to the point where we have a gas line and we get, you know, 10, 15, 20,000 people moving into the state, or perhaps even more over time, that means that we have to our education system has to fund that all those students. We have to pay dividends to all these new people that come in the state, and there's nowhere to recoup, by and large, what those additional expenses would bring into the state. So we have you know, some pretty serious issues going forward, because when you look at things, here we are in 2026, the last decade or so, we've lost 30,000. you know, working age Alaskans, our workforce is being depleted. We have schools that are vastly underfunded, small, medium, large. And we have, and we're reminded by our finance co-chairs regularly, we have almost $3 billion in deferred maintenance that we have just sort of, you know, turned a blind eye towards because we haven't had the revenue to, you know, to make do. So lots on the plate that take a tremendous amount of analysis, and quite frankly, I'm not sure we have the time to do it this session.
All right, we are going to take a short break, and I want to say thank you to Minority Leader Republican Representative Delina Johnson of Palmer for being on with us for the first half hour. When we return from our break, Minority Leader Republican Senator Mike Kronk of Tolk will be with us, and we will also continue on with our conversation with Senate President Gary Stevens and House Speaker Bryce Edgman as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Want to make a lasting impression? Consider planning a gift as a bequest to this station. Talk to a financial advisor to learn how.
Get your weekly look at the trends, policies, and issues that impact your wallet in Alaska with the Alaska Economic Report. From local businesses to fiscal policy to big industries like fishing, tourism, and oil and gas, I'll cover the high-stakes economic issues that matter to Alaskans all over the state. That's the Alaska Economic Report with me, Ava White, on your local public radio station each week.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide if you'd like to join our conversation talking about the work of the second session of the 34th Legislature. 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. And we have on the line from KTOO in Juneau, Majority Leader, Republican Senate President Gary Stevens of Kodiak, Majority Leader, House Speaker Bryce Edgman, an independent from Dillingham. And joining us now at 10:30 is Minority Leader, Republican Senator Mike Kronk of Tolk. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good to be back.
That's great. Thank you. Senator Kronk, thanks so much for joining us. I know you were busy in a committee meeting this morning. And if you were able to listen to any of the first half of the program, you'll know Representative Delina Johnson was on with us. Give us your thoughts on priority issues as you see them for the Senate minority members and how you'll work to advance them.
You know, it's always hard to agree on anything, even as a small group. So I think our one thing we can rally around is just having a fiscal stability for our state, you know, that. And how do we get there? That's the big question for all of us is how do we fix that? So I would say that's the one thing we could probably rally around.
And Senator Kronk, you were a teacher for 25 years. And as you know, another perennial issue is school funding. The legislature passed a substantial increase, $700 per student to the base student allocation, the BSA, last year, overriding Governor Dunleavy's veto to do that. But districts still say they can't keep up with rising costs. Recent reporting has highlighted the intense need for school building maintenance and upgrades across the state, especially in rural communities. The Anchorage School District, ASD, is proposing to cut 500 staff positions and increase class sizes, eliminate all middle school sports. Do you see lawmakers taking up any of the statewide requests this year, another BASA increase or other funding for schools?
I personally don't, because I think we know we're in the same kind of fiscal situation as we were last year, and probably a little worse. So I don't know if there's a lot of wiggle room to add that kind of money to a budget at this point. And I think that's probably a better question for some of, you know, the majority of finance members to. And of course, we're also waiting for more information of, you know, the oil prices and stuff like that. But I think that would be a tough discussion this year with the other issues that we have in front of us.
Senator Stevens, your thoughts here.
Well, it's a good question. I don't think we're going to be able to add to the BSA. I realize the problem our districts are having all over the state, but probably not deal with the BSA. But I think one thing we've got to deal with in one form or another is deferred maintenance in our schools, but also in our court system and also in the University of Alaska. Deferred maintenance is an enormous issue. One school, I believe at Antioch, collapsed in January. So we've got to address these major maintenance issues, and the governor did not put anything for major maintenance for the courts, the university, or school districts in his budget. We've got to address that in one way or the other.
Speaker Edgemond, anything you would add there?
Well, I think there's going to be an effort to inflation-proof the base student allocation, or what we call the K-12 funding foundation. Whether or not we can get there in the end, as you know, Senator Cronk was talking about from the Finance Committee perspective, is another matter. We just learned yesterday that federal funding for the ferry system to the tune of $78 million may not be available, which would put an additional demand on a budget that's already under a lot of stress here in Alaska. I think the small glimmer of hope at this point is that oil prices are up slightly, kind of defying expectations. And I sort of underscore the word slightly because it's not a lot. But when you start to look at all the demands on the budget, everything from the money that was spent on the Halong disaster to fire suppression to the fact that we took money out of a savings account last year, the higher education fund that we need to replenish, along with a whole host of other items that need to be funded as core services, you know, it's going to be really competitive to get things in the budget at the very end as we bring the session to a close.
1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide if you'd like to join our conversation about the work in front of Alaska lawmakers during the second session of the 34th legislature that is underway right now. 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Donna in Homer writes, I believe a statewide sales tax is the wrong direction to go because of all the communities that already have their own sales tax. Donna says, I believe we should have a statewide income tax that would capture more and be more fair. There are many people who earn their living here, go back to their home states and pay income taxes there. Oil companies need to pay their fair share in taxes. She writes, I heard Representative Johnson say it was really complicated, but that's their job. So Donna's writing in favor of that. And Leon in Esther writes, the elephant in the room is SB 21. Production tax revenue on state land is going to build oil company developments and NPRA, where we get no royalty revenue. We won't get any revenue from NPRA for years, but every year we continue to subsidize the oil company at the expense of statewide needs. So lots of opinions out there about various taxes, and we could, of course, just talk about that for the rest of the hour, but there's so many other things to discuss, and one of them, of course, is the permanent fund dividend, always a heated consideration. Senator Stevens, what makes sense to you for the future of this payment? Describe the conundrum here and any potential solutions that you see.
Well, again, it's folks who, some people believe the most important thing is a high dividend. Others believe that they shouldn't be charged an income tax or sales tax. You know, I have to go back to your comment from the First Lady talking about an income tax. What we know is this governor has said that he will veto an income tax. And so we can spend the rest of the session here working on an income tax only to find that it's vetoed, it's not going to work. We live in a world of reality, and we have to figure out what works there. So. And again, Lori, what was your question? Because I got off on income tax. That's something that we probably cannot deal with this session.
Well, I had moved us forward to considering the permanent fund dividend and what you see as potential solutions or ideas for solutions.
I think we will always have a dividend. It may be around the $1,000 level, maybe a little more. It depends on how things turn out. Bryce mentioned a slight increase in oil prices, that will certainly help us out a lot. you know, we're here in reality. We've got to make sure we fund our schools and our prisons and all the other things we have to do. So we've gotten into a position where we have to make use of the earnings from the permanent fund. You know, at one point, the biggest revenue we had was oil. It's no longer that. Now it's the earnings of our investments. So, you know, I don't see us in near future going back to a high dividend. We simply can't afford that.
And Speaker Edgemon, your thoughts here, and then Senator Cronk, I'd like to hear from you as well.
Well, last year the legislature paid out a $1,000 dividend, and the cost of that was $685 million. To put things into context, what the governor is proposing with his dividend plan is to take 50% of the annual draw from the permanent fund, and that 50% would be in the neighborhood of about, I'm thinking, $2 billion-ish or so, $3,600 PFD. So you've got, let's see, you've got about $1.2 billion difference between what we paid out this last year and $1,000 PFD versus what the governor's proposing. So that is, that's unfortunately, as much as I've got constituents who would disagree with me, you know, it's just fiscally not possible to go there. But at the same time, and ICER really emphasized this, and I think all of us know this so well, you know, the most regressive form of revenue measure is to cut the PFD, right? Because lower income people get hit harder, it's a, given that it's a large percentage of their household income. And so we wrestle with this all the time. And, you know, I think both senators would agree that, you know, it's a balance. We need to get schools their money. We need to get public safety their money. We also want to get a meaningful permanent fund dividend out. And, you know, the chapter is not closed yet on this session. Obviously, we've got a ways to go. But it is part of the fiscal problem on one hand, unfortunately, but it's also part of the fiscal solution on the other. And so we're gonna continue wrestling with it. And, you know, my hope is that at a bare minimum, we can at least get $1,000 PFD out the door.
And Senator Cronk, your thoughts here. As we know, the permanent fund dividend takes a lot of energy every year for the legislature to wrestle with. Do you support the 50-50 split the governor has proposed or something else?
I've always supported a PFD. And there's a point in my life where I know the importance of it. I knew I used that to fill my fuel tank or buy some new, you know, tires for my truck or kids' clothes. And so, you know, I think most of us realize the importance of it. But there's also a fiscal reality when you come down here and you actually see the real numbers of what we're dealing with. And that's what makes it really difficult. I've always supported a PFD. I've always supported a full PFD. But in reality, like, you know, Senator, you know, Stevens and Speaker Edgemon have said, it's the reality is the reality. And we have a lot of things that we have to take care of. I don't think we're prioritizing government first, but we do have our responsibilities of, you know, the infrastructure, schools, you know, public safety. And we're watching things crumble right in front of us. And how do we address all those things and make sure we're getting a PFD out?
All right, let's go to the phones for a moment. Doug is in Fairbanks. Hello.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. It's sort of a complicated issue in my mind, and I appreciate the balancing act that the discussion is, you know, doing with regard to the PFD and various forms of taxation. You know, my thought about this is that, you know, I think we would all agree, as the representatives have been pointing out, that both a statewide sales tax and a reduction in the PFD are pretty regressive means of garnering revenue from the population. But they're both regressive. And my thought is that why do we not look at a progressive or a means-tested payout of the PFD? You know, there are a lot of higher income folks in the state. I'm lucky to be in that bracket. And, you know, every time I get a PFD, my wife and I send 30% of it to the federal government. So there's a lot of PFD dollars that are leaving the state. And I don't know how many of those dollars are leaving the state, but I suspect it's substantial. On the other hand, on the other side, I realize that the governor's proposal for a sales tax that's variable throughout the year is an attempt to garner more dollars from people who are visitors. So on the one hand, you know, with the state sales tax equation, you're gobbling up dollars from people who, you know, from sort of outside the state. But on the other hand, with the PFD handout, the high income folks in the state are sending dollars to the federal government. So it seems to me that a fiscal analysis could be done to look at these various options to see what the sort of the net benefit to Alaska is. And I'm not sure that the best solution wouldn't be some sort of a means-tested progressive PFD payout where higher-income folks who don't necessarily need that $1,000 so badly and would also be sending a lot of it to the federal government simply don't get that payout or get a reduced payout.
Okay, thanks,
whereas,
Doug.
You know, the single mom in Anchorage would get the full amount to help support her and her kids.
Thank you for putting that forward. I think our legislators will tell us that that's been settled law because challenges have come about means testing in the past. Is that correct?
Well, I think you're referring to the Zobel case back in 1981-82. It's actually not correct because we have been advised that we can. The Zobel case, of course, was about longevity, right? The number of years you spent in Alaska. So that's different than a means-tested PFD. And our legal advisors tell us that it is possible for us to put a bill through, to make statutory changes, to, you know, to have somebody who makes more money, you know, get a smaller PFD than somebody who makes less money. And I can tell you, we had one of our members here in the House last session put a bill in just to do that. And the pushback was immediate. It was vehement opposition across the state to the point where I think we held one hearing on it and just set it aside because it was so controversial. And this is probably coming from a lot of people who you know don't rely, as was stated earlier, on the PFD to get fuel oil or to get basic groceries and whatnot. I think it's so embedded in the Alaska ethos that people, by and large, not everyone in Alaska, but a good chunk of the population believe that this is their inherent rights to get a permanent fund dividend.
All right, we need to take another short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the work of lawmakers during the second session of the 34th Legislature as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Whether this is your first try to quit or you've been down this path before, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help you quit for good. Get help creating a plan that is right for you no matter if you smoke cigarettes, vape, use smokeless tobacco, or ICMIC. With options like calling a coach, receiving text messages, and nicotine replacement therapy like patches or gum, you can quit your way at any time of day or night. Call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit alaskaquitline.com. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line.
The greatest compliment to a public media station is when a listener becomes a member. So do your part today by becoming a part of the team officially. Thank you for making a donation.
For more than four decades, Alaska News Nightly has brought you award-winning statewide news. From Dutch Harbor to Prudhoe Bay, from Metlakatla to Koktovik, Alaska News Nightly covers every corner of Alaska, keeping you up to date about the issues you care about most. Join me, Casey Grove, for Alaska News Nightly, weeknights on your local public radio station.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm being told that we're having some difficulties with our phone system, so you can keep trying. Thank you for your patience as we try to figure that out. Our call-in number statewide is 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We have on the line from KTOO in Juneau, Majority Leader, Republican Senate President Gary Stevens of Kodiak, and Majority Leader, House Speaker Bryce Edgman, an independent from Dillingham. Also on the line with us from KTOO is Minority Leader, Republican Senator Mike Kronk of Tolk. We have an email from Sarah who writes, I'm a retired teacher, mom of two sons who went through ASD, grandmom of two ASD students today. I fail to understand how the state can continue year after year to underfund education. Why aren't schools more of a priority? Our students deserve better. Perhaps this is one reason why we are losing young working families. Please prioritize our schools. And I also see a number of emails that people oppose to a sales tax, but saying that the oil company should be taxed. Sarah writes, regardless of the oil price, oil companies' profit margins are huge. They can afford to fund our schools. Sean Parnell worked for the oil companies before he governed Alaska, worked for them the entire... Well, I don't know that this is... we're not going to say that because we can't say that that's true. When Senate Bill 21 failed years ago, that was our... demise. So she writes, do whatever you need to tax the oil companies, please. Are any legislators calling for an income tax? Anchorage Democratic Representative Andrew Gray said before the governor's plan was released that he hoped the governor would introduce an income tax, as it's, as we have been discussing, less burdensome for low-income Alaskans. Are any lawmakers bringing a proposal forward?
Well, we have talked about it regularly, and again, as I said, the governor has said that he's opposed to an income tax, so we could work very hard to pass an income tax, only to find that it's vetoed, and all our efforts are for naught.
All right, so let's talk about the fact that this is the second session. Senator Stevens, that means all proposed legislation must pass or it dies at the end of the session. What do you think are the most urgent statewide needs that just simply have to be addressed in this cycle?
Well, the big issues, of course, are the budget. That's the one thing we have to do is pass that budget. Also, we've got the gas line. We've got the fiscal plan that we're talking about, that really important issues. And there's lots of other issues out there, elections, education, construction match. I think that's a big issue that we're trying to come to terms with. So lots of things, a rural health transformation plan, the program, that's going to be a big one. And I also think we need to keep trying to assist the fishing industry, which is crucial to my district.
Speaker Edgman or Senator Cronk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would I would chime into all, you know, in support of all of the above. The federal highway match component that Senator Stevens was referencing. Last session, the governor vetoed, I think it was $69 million that would have brought in, basically one for every state dollar, it would bring in nine federal dollars. In that, we're hearing an urgent message from the construction industry, from industry trade organizations as a whole, to pass out as early as we can this session. But we can't forget that we had an unprecedented disaster in Western Alaska this past year. And that's coming with a price tag that could actually mount as sessions goes on. And, so we're in a situation where I think, you know, our listeners believe we're talking about the upcoming budget, when in fact the current budget that we're in right now, we have a number of things that are unpaid, including fire suppression and $129 million that we took out of the higher education fund last year to balance the budget. And so we have a number of things totaling about $400 million that we still need to deal with in the existing fiscal year that ends June 30th. That's going to require a three-quarters vote in order to draw from our one savings account that remains, and that's the constitutional budget reserve. And all of this before we look at putting our budget together for FY27, which is the next year, which starts on July 1st. So I think it's really important to sort of highlight that.
And Senator Cronk, what do you think are the simply must-haves that have to go forward this session?
Oh, obviously, the budget is our number one priority. I'm absolutely convinced that getting cheap energy to Alaska is the key to our future. You know, if we reduce people's, you know, energy bills by $200 to $500, you know, if you compare that to getting a PFD check, it could be way bigger if we can figure out. And I know our challenges in rural Alaska are definitely harder to lower energy costs, but that's something I think we really need to address. And plus, there's the health money that we don't even know what kind of legislation we may need to accept the massive money that's available. So we have challenges ahead as a collective group.
And I want to burn through a couple questions quickly here as we are approaching the end of the hour. We have so many more things to talk about. A question by email says, given the state's need to raise revenue, is there discussion of revenue generating options such as gaming, including a statewide lottery or casino gaming? Any talk of that?
You know, we've done modeling on lottery taxes in years past. In Alaska, such a small market, as best as I can remember, it really hasn't come forward as a major generator of of revenue, but it probably will be on the table as well as everything else. And I want to just say really quickly, and I know we've only got a few minutes left here, but we haven't talked about the gas line at all. That's that many of us feel, hopefully, is going to be imminent. And we certainly haven't really dug into the Rural Transformation Fund, which this year would bring $272 million into Alaska vis-a-vis healthcare providers, of which, you know, the legislature has appropriated most of that. There's a big chunk of it we still need to take action on. And that topic alone is, I think, going to really be a big part of what we do between now and the end of session.
Absolutely.
And it's important to realize that the rural health transformation program is all of Alaska. We call it rural, but it really affects the biggest cities as well.
The entire state is considered rural, and that will bring more than $1 billion to the state over 5 years. So, yes, a lot to discuss there. The Alaska Beacon reported that the Trump administration, we were talking about Halong earlier, is denying to fully reimburse the state for the Halong disaster in western Alaska. How will the state cover this unexpected cost, and are you considering a fund for disaster mitigation going forward as coastal storms intensify?
Well, that's truly a big concern. The governor had thought he had the support of the Trump administration. They'd funded it 100%. Well, now we're talking about less. So we'll have to deal with that one way or the other.
Right. And the governor vetoed some of what the legislature put into the budget last year for disaster management. So we're scrambling. That's part of what we have to fund in this current fiscal year because there were vetoes that were enacted. But also we had a whole bunch of unexpected costs. And we haven't talked about fire suppression yet. Mike, I'm sure you could probably talk a lot about that. So I think a very pertinent question, and throw that one in the cauldron with the fiscal plan and the gas line and the balancing the budget and the permanent fund dividend, and you kind of get a picture that there's a lot of moving pieces.
Senator Cronk, your thoughts about the potential of a disaster mitigation fund that the state may need going forward?
I think it's definitely something we should be looking at, because whether it's a natural disaster or the fires that we're seeing every year, you know, I think this year is $55 million, you know, that we're going to have to figure out how to pay for it. But I think it'd be nice to have that there, because things are going to happen no matter what. I mean, it's just going to happen. And we have landslides down here in the southeast. So I think that would be very smart of the legislature to figure out some sort of, you know, amount of money there that's at least available, and we don't have to backfill, you know, every year.
The Daily News, Anchorage Daily News, reported this morning that the ferry system could run out of operating funds this summer because of a federal program has been frozen, causing a nearly $78 million hole in the ferry system's budget. Will lawmakers consider additional funds for the ferry system if the federal money doesn't come through?
That'll be really hard to do. Waiting for the answer from the feds. I think we put out a plan for the ferry system in May, and we just really need to know by then whether we're going to have a service in the summer for the Alaska Marine Highway System. So I don't think we're at a point where we can fund that hole in our budget based on what the feds may do. We need to find out what the federal government's going to do.
And finally, in our last minute here, there was a brief mention of the much-hoped-for LNG line that has been desired for decades by state leaders. A lot of state money has already been spent on plans, studies, trips to woo potential buyers. What do you want to see going forward related to this project? Should the state invest more now? Do you want to see transparency in negotiations? Or should there be contracts with buyers in place before any more state money is spent?
I think what we want to see in the legislature is more details. At this point, we know very little about what's happening. And of course, we read the news accounts just like everybody else does. But we know that the legislature will have to play a role going forward. The issue of fiscal stability or being able to provide certainty for the owners of the pipeline going forward will involve the legislature. And I think I'd close by saying that new model being led by Glenn Farn is operating under old legislation that was passed 12 to 14 years ago that contemplated the majors, Exxon, Conoco, BP, actually being the owners and operators of the pipeline. Very different environment today.
All right. I wish we had more time, but before we go, I also want to note that the head of ICER, the Institute of Social and Economic Research, is encouraging folks to sign up for a free webinar tomorrow that ICER will present on the state fiscal options. We will link to that on the Talk of Alaska post at alaskapublic.org. Thanks to our guests, Majority Leader Republican Senate President Gary Stevens of Kodiak, Majority Leader House Speaker Bryce Edgman, and Independent of Dillingham. Earlier, we heard from Minority Leader Republican Representative Delina Johnson of Palmer, and on the line currently is Minority Leader Republican Senator Mike Kronk of Tok. Thanks so much to the lawmakers for making time for us today. Thanks to our team, our engineer Crystal Hyde, our producer and editor is Annie Feit, and James O helped us out on the phones today. I'm Lori Townsend. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.